Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Now, honestly, we would have gone on to probably verse 5 or 6. However, there's something very important, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and we don't want to rush past this very important doctrinal statement without giving plenty of time to help you understand what's going on. Let's read the passage. And then what we're going to do is we're going to compare this particular passage of Scripture with where it's quoted in the New Testament, show you the significance of the way that it's quoted in the New Testament. Then we're going to compare it in a couple of other Bibles so you'll understand something about how subtle and yet how profound the changes are in modern Bibles. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice, this is a prophecy concerning, at the first advent, John the Baptist. I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. Well, who is me? And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, me, in this context of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, is the Lord of hosts. Notice the speaker in the entire verse is the L-O-R-D, all capital letters, of hosts. Now, if you are to read a New World Translation put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would tell you this this Lord here, all capital, is Jehovah, because that L-O-R-D, where all the letters are capitalized like that, that is God Almighty. That is the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton is the four Hebrew radical word that the Hebrews do not pronounce, and they change the quill every time they write that when they're transcribing or writing down the scripture. That's the way that the Masoretes would do it. All right, so that's that person there is the Lord Jehovah. It's God Almighty. Okay, now, and you know that in the King James Bible every time you see it, because it is capital L-O-R-D. Now, I'm reading, I just took a second to grab my New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay, and in Malachi 3:1, this is what they say: look, I am sending my messenger, and he must clear up a way before me, and suddenly there will come to his temple the true Lord, whom you people are seeking, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you are delighting. Look, he will certainly come, Jehovah of armies has said. All right, now when he says, I am sending my messenger, and he must clear up the way before me, that is God Almighty, even in the Jehovah's Witnesses translation of the scriptures. Jehovah has said. Okay, so it's clearly established. I know we're taking plenty of time with this, but we want you to understand the significance. The person talking, who is me, is God Almighty. Okay, and that's very important that you understand that. I've got an NIV here. I've got a New American Standard version of the Bible here, again in Malachi 3:1, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me," and so forth and so on, says the Lord Almighty. That's from the NIV. And then from the New American Standard Version, we flip back here to Malachi chapter 3 and look at verse 1. There are a lot of added notes in this, so a little bit hard to get to. "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear up the way before me." Okay? And the one speaking is the Lord of hosts. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So, though they say it different ways, okay, and there's something to, you know, question about the way that it's all said different ways, nonetheless, they all agree that the person speaking is God Almighty. Now, the reason that we spent that much time going through this particular verse of Scripture that diligently is that we wanted to show you how this verse is then handled in the New Testament. Mark chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to show you something here today that is a corruption of the words of God. Okay? Mark chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Bible, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, plural, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Now, isn't it interesting, in the Greek manuscripts, the verse is not quoted properly. In the King James Bible, it is not quoted properly. When I say properly, he's not quoting it the way that it was written in the Old Testament. He didn't say, "I will send my messenger before my face, and he'll prepare the way before me." He said, "Before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." That's the way it is in the Greek texts of the New Testament. I said texts, plural, because there are many. That's the way it is in English here in the King James Bible, and the same thing is true in the New American Standard Version and in the NIV. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." That's the NIV. The New American Standard Version, "I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way." New American Standard Version. See, they're all very consistent. Whoever the author of the Greek text is, the Greek texts is, they're not translating it or saying it the way that it was said in the Old Testament. And you know why that is? Because the author is the Spirit of God, and he can quote himself however he wants to quote himself. If he wants to make a change there, then he can do that. Now, in the New World Translation, it says, "I am sending forth my messenger before your face who will prepare your way." Okay? Same thing. Same kind of deal. But now we're going to go back and actually look at something that became a very gross change. I'll read it to you again in the King James Bible, and then we'll show you where everything falls all to pieces. Mark 1:1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets," plural, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, in the authorized version of the Bible, the King James Bible, Mark says, "As it is written in the prophets," plural. And then he quotes Malachi 3:1 in the remainder of verse 2. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, in the remainder, in the verse 3 of Mark chapter 1. So Mark chapter 1, verse 2 is Malachi 3:1. And Mark chapter 1, verse 3 is Isaiah 40, verse 3. That's prophets, plural. Isaiah says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And he says that in Isaiah 40, verse 3. In other words, you can look it up, right? That's one prophet. Malachi says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. That's the other prophet. So when Mark says, as it is written in the prophets, plural, he's telling you, I'm quoting two prophets. I'm quoting Malachi, and I'm quoting Isaiah. Now, before we go any further, it is very significant that he tells you he is quoting more than one prophet. There are times when, in the Bible, God will quote one prophet who said something, okay, but another prophet actually wrote the thing down. You might remember from our study in Zechariah, where we were reading about throwing down the 30 pieces of silver, you know, in the potter's house and all that kind of stuff. Remember when we had that study? All right. And that was in Zechariah chapter 11. And the price that was weighed for my price, 30 pieces of silver, all right, is something that shows up in the New Testament. Now, when it is quoted in the New Testament, it is attributed to a different prophet. Zechariah wrote down, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, that the price weighed for the Lord Jesus Christ was 30 pieces of silver. But in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 9, the Bible says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Well, Jeremiah spoke it. We know that from Matthew. But Zechariah was the one that wrote it down. We know that from Zechariah. Okay? So sometimes that's the kind of thing that will happen. Well, when Mark says, this is written in the prophets, then what you're not talking about something that was spoken by a prophet, is you're talking about something that was written by the prophets. And when you go looking in the prophets, plural, for what was written down, where one said, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, you find that written in Malachi. And you find the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, written in Isaiah. So it's prophets, plural. And here is the key significance to Mark quoting what was written in Malachi. If you go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the person speaking is Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, God the Father. And he says, you're going to send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Right? When you get to the New Testament, and Mark quotes the fulfillment of the prophecy, he says, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, and he's referring that to Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the significance? You get the significance. The significance is the man that shows up, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the same God as the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah, God the Father. They're the same God. So when the messenger comes and prepares the way before thee, Jesus Christ, that thee is me, the Lord Jehovah, of Malachi 3:1. In other words, this is a tremendous passage of Scripture in Mark for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful verse because that tells you that Jesus Christ and God, Jehovah, God Almighty, God the Father, are the same God. Different person, but same God. And that John the Baptist comes to prepare the way before Jehovah manifest in the flesh, or God manifest in the flesh. That is a powerful verse of Scripture. But when you see Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That person, the Lord of verse 3, happens to be Jehovah, the Lord God. Again, from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the L-O-R-D, all caps, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Those are in the mouth of two or three witnesses, is every word established. Those two verses quoted by Mark tell you, because the prophets, plural, are speaking, that we are dealing with God manifest in the flesh. What a powerful testimony. But you know what happens in the modern Bibles? You guessed it. This is the NIV, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare you the way of the Lord, make the path straight for him. Well, now, wait a minute. Something just got messed up. Because now he's not saying in the prophets plural, he's just saying in Isaiah the prophet, it is written, I am going to prepare, I am going to send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. But when you go to Isaiah, where he's quoting, guess what Isaiah does not say in writing? He does not say, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. That's the one thing he doesn't say. That's what Malachi says. So there's a couple of problems in the NIV. Number one, he's saying that Isaiah wrote something he did not write. And secondly, he's saying that only one prophet bears witness to this, and it's the prophet Isaiah, removing the clear testimony to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. All right, in Mark chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 of the New American Standard Version, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. Isaiah doesn't say that, I mean, in writing. And secondly, Malachi does, and when he does, he attributes it to God Almighty. So again, the clear testimony of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is removed. And who took it out? On what authority? You go to the New World Translation of the Bible, and I've told people when I'm teaching them about these things with modern translations, you can go to the New American Bible, which is the Bible approved for use by the Catholics, and the NIV, which is a predominantly Protestant Bible. I say that it's used as pew Bibles in a lot of churches, and the New American Standard Bible, they all read very much the same. And then you get the New World Translation, they all read very much the same. It's ecumenical. It's what it is. All right, Mark chapter 1. In the New World Translation, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, they take out the Son of God. Just as is written in Isaiah the prophet, well, they say the same thing. Look, I am sending forth my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. Isaiah doesn't say it. So you know what happens? The New World Translation puts it in parentheses because they know that Isaiah didn't write it. So they've changed it. The NIV changed it. The New American Standard Bible changed it. What's up? Where did they get the authority? Well, you go to Nestle's Greek text, which shows you all the authority, okay, for Bible translations. That is, who has it in their text and who doesn't, because there are many, many Greek texts. When people say in the Greek, they're pulling your leg a little bit. Or they say in the original, they're really pulling your leg because there are no originals. And in the Greek, there are many Greek texts. The phrase in Nestle's Greek text is to eisai to propheto or prophete, which is the prophet Isaiah or in Isaiah, the prophet. Okay? Now, the authority for that wording in the Greek text that Nestle produced is Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, the two Catholic Greek manuscripts that are referred to and regarded by scholars as the oldest and the best because they're old manuscripts. And then there are some other ones. But Nestle was clever enough to give you all the manuscript evidence for the various wordings, he shows the alternate reading, tois prophetes, which is the prophets. And you know what that's found in? The majority text. In other words, the majority of the texts have it like the King James Bible does. So the modern translators have thrown out the right wording for the text based on what was in the Catholic manuscripts Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. All right, now one of the most regarded Greek scholars by a lot of scholars, he's not mostly regarded by me, is a guy named Kenneth Wiest. And he wrote a Bible study or a word study on Mark in the Greek New Testament for the English reader. And where he comes to the statement, in the prophets, as it's found in the Authorized Version, he says this, the best Greek texts have in Isaiah the prophet. The quotation, he says, is from Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40 verse 3. As to the apparent discrepancy here, Robertson says that it was common to combine quotations from the prophets. Bruce, in Expositor's Greek Testament, says an inaccuracy doubtless. You know what he just told you? He says it is an inaccuracy to say in the prophets. What are you trying to say, dude? It is in the prophets. It's in the majority of the Greek texts. It is written in Malachi, you read it, Malachi 3:1. It is written in Isaiah 40, verse 3, you read it in Isaiah 43. And we says the quotation is from two prophets. And he says, an inaccuracy, doubtless. Do you see what happens to these scholars when they get into their Greek? They get so blinded to the truth, they are just like the Pharisees who were looking at Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and did not recognize who he was. Bruce goes on to say in his Expositor's Greek Testament, an inaccuracy doubtless, but not through error of memory, but through indifference to greater exactness, the quotation from Isaiah being what chiefly occupied the mind. It is somewhat analogous to attraction in grammar. Boy, if you can figure out that statement. And how does he know what the guys were thinking? How does he know that it wasn't an error of memory or an indifference to a greater exactness? No, it's not what it was at all, Bruce. No, that's not what it was at all, Robertson. No, that wasn't what it was at all, Wiest. You know what the problem was? The problem was that the devil influenced the minds of the translators who were corrupting the words of God so that they would change this to in the prophet Isaiah to destroy the testimony of Malachi, showing you the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world did the devil get in the translating committee? The same way he got into Peter's mouth after Peter made one of the greatest confessions of any apostle in the New Testament. Jesus in Matthew 16 asked the apostles, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you understand? Peter got a direct revelation from God Almighty about Jesus Christ and who he is. But six verses later, Jesus Christ has gone on to explain that he has to die by crucifixion, and Peter rebuked him and told him it's not going to be that way. And the Lord turned to Peter, who had just made a confession from the revelation of God Almighty, and had to say to Peter, he talked to the devil in him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Do you understand that God spoke through the mouth, or by revelation through Peter, six verses earlier? And within six verses, the devil is now speaking through his mouth. And Peter is the one that preached in Acts chapter 2 and 3,000 souls got saved. And he's the one that led Cornelius and his household to the Lord. Yes, the devil can have influence in those meetings. And has blinded these scholars so much to say that it is wrong to say in the prophets when you and I have both read in the prophets, prophets, these two prophecies. And the mistake is to change it to in Isaiah the prophet and take away the clear deity of the Lord Jesus Christ preserved for you in Malachi 3:1 in all the, even in the modern translations where Malachi is speaking and John the Baptist is fulfilling something that is applied to Jehovah. But with the change that they've made, they destroyed it. You know what I say? This is what I say. If Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are the two oldest and greatest Greek texts, why did they attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is that in Paul's day, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, many were corrupting the words of God, even at that time. Many, when Paul was still alive. These guys corrupted that, and the modern translators have accepted the authority of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus above the authority of the majority text, unless it's convenient for them to go with the majority of the Greek text. They have accepted above the clear understanding of your own English language and the pure testimony of the words of God. Why? Because they did not want you to see the true character and nature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why. And the only person I know in the universe who is sincerely aggravated by the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is the devil himself. That's why he kept after Jesus Christ the entire time he was on the earth and said, "If thou be the Son of God, change this stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." He always was challenging his deity while he was on the earth. And so he got into the translation committees and challenged the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, Malachi 3:1 with Mark chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is one of the most powerful testimonies in the words of God to who Jesus Christ really is. He is God manifest in the flesh. Do not accept the testimony of a modern translator who attacks that deity. And I don't care how simple he makes the language to tell you a lie. If you're willing to trade in simple languages so that you can get a lie, then you sold out cheap, my friend. You sold out cheap. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.